Okay, so tonight we're going to talk about the Korban Mincha. Sometimes people get scared off when you talk about korbanos. But we're going to try to make it accessible, and we're trying to really understand what's the goal of the Korban Mincha. So first of all, let's just begin with a little background. There are two different types of korbanos. There are korbanos chova and korbanos nedava. There are voluntary sacrifices, and then there are obligatory sacrifices. Within the korbanos nedava, within the voluntary sacrifices, you have two different types. You have animal sacrifices like a shlamim and an olah, and you have a korban mincha, which is a flower offering. Now, what is the korban olah? And the korban olah, the entire animal, in a sense, is sacrificed. The entire animal is burnt. And one of the commentaries, Rikanti, that's the very first source that I have here, says, Amar Rabbeinu, Rabbeinu Zichron Livracha, Alma Ha'ola Miskaperes, over what does the Korban Ola atone? Al Aseh Ve'al Velot Taseh Hanitak La'aseh. So it atones for sins, for failures to perform a mitzvah Saseh, or failure to, or I'm sorry, or the commission of a sin that could be fixed by an asay. There's a law where it says don't do this, but there's a way to fix it. And then Rabbi Shimon Omer, Ein ha'ola ba el al hir hor halev. Rabbi Shimon says that the korban ola is only comes as a result of bad thoughts. And the Rikanti writes, "Vehinei lefi shtei hadeos ha'elu yesh tam nachon liyosam zachar." He says there's a common denominator between these two different perspectives. Is it based on failure to form a mitzvah aseh or commission of a lo taaseh that can be fixed by an aseh, or is it about bad thoughts? So Rikanti says that the common denominator, "Ki im hi ba al aseh v'lav hanitak laaseh yadata ki haaseh." Mizachor gamim hiba al hirhor halev. So he says the following: if whether it's a failure of an asay or whether it's a violation of a lav hanitak lasay, and even if it's based on hirhor halev, a bad thoughts, the key is machshava hi makor v'reishis hakol. It's all about machshava. It's all about bad thoughts. If you think about it. When you don't do a mitzvah saseh, so you didn't do anything wrong. You just had bad thoughts not to do the mitzvah saseh. When you do a lav hanitak laaseh, when you violate a prohibition and you do something wrong, but it could be fixed. So you fix the action, but there is still the bad thought. And also, hirhor halev are also bad thoughts. So the korban ola, essentially, which you sacrifice the entire person, the entire animal, replacing the person, is sacrificed to God for bad thoughts. And it was generated from a desire to improve our attitude, our thoughts vis-a-vis Torah and mitzvos. So that is when it comes to the Korban Ola. When it comes to the Korban Shlamim, when it comes to the Korban Shlamim, so Rashi says, why is it called a. Hold on one second, hold on one second. Sorry, when it comes to the Korban Shlamim, so Rashi says, why is it called the Korban Shlamim? So one opinion is because it shematim shalom ba'olam, it brings peace to the world. And he says, davar acher shlamim sheish b'hem shalom la'mizbeach v'la'kohanim v'la'ba'alim. There's peace for the mizbeach, the kohanim, and the owners. What does that mean? For the korban shlamim, the mizbeach gets some of it. Some of the animal is burnt. The kohanim get to eat some of it, and the owners get to eat some of it. So there's peace. Everyone gets some of the korban shlamim. And the Ramban writes, v'ashlamim miloshen v'chol cheftzei yashlim. And all my desires are complete. Avanim shlemot, from the notion of completion, feeling a sense of completeness in relation to God. So you have these two korbanos, these two animal voluntary offerings, the korban olah, which is predicated upon a desire to improve your attitude vis-a-vis God. And then you have the korban shlamim, which is born out of a feeling of happiness that I'm in a good place, and I want to express my thanksgiving to God because of the situation in which I'm in. And now we have the flower offering, which is a voluntary offering, the Korban Mincha, and the question is, where does that fit in? Now, the Abravanel, now, so what is the Korban Mincha? Just very quickly, the Korban Mincha, he says, V'nefesh ki takriv Korban Mincha l'Hashem. So let's say a person who brings a Korban Mincha to God, solos ya korbanov yitzak alei Hashem v'nasan alei levonas. You got three ingredients. You got flour, oil, and frankincense. And then ve'vi'al b'nei Aaron ha'kohanim, you bring it to the Kohanim, v'kamatz misham lo kumtzo misalto. So the Kohen takes a handful, and umishamna al kol levonos. So he takes a handful of the ingredients, v'hikir ha'kohen esas korasam yizbecha isha reyach lichoch l'shem. And you burn the handful on the mizbeach, and v'anoseres b'nei mincha la'aron levonov kodosh kodoshim isha Hashem. And the leftover, what's left over from the komets, from the handful, the Kohanim eat it. Now there are five different types of korban minchas. You can bring one that's a mafe tanur. The first one actually was just a mixture. That was what we just said. So number one is just a mixture of the ingredients. You have a mixture of the ingredients, and then you burn, and the rest the Kohanim get to take. A second one is where you have a baked, something that's baked in the oven, and then it can either be chalos or matzos. I would say chalos matzos plus bashemen or kiki matzos. It could either be oven-baked loaves or wafers. So that's number two and number three. A fourth type is on Pasuk Hey, mincha al hamachvas korbanecha. So that's a mincha that is pan-baked. And the fifth type is mincha marcheshes, deep baked, deep fryer than oil. Depends how fatty you want it to be. So there are five types of korbanos mincha. And
that's all matzahs, right?
Yeah, correct. Because the Torah tells us in Perek Beis Pasuk Yud Gimel that the kor korban mincha schaba melach timlach, so you have to have salt. But what can you not have? I'm sorry, I skipped this. In Pasuk Yud Aleph, it says you can't make it chametz, and you can't have honey. So you have salt, no honey, no chametz. So just to summarize, you have five different types of minchas. No honey, no chametz, and there is salt. Now, what is this? What is this korban mincha? Is it more like a ola, or is it more like a shlamim? So the Abravanel explains, he says the following. If you follow the order of the Torah, he says, "V'hinei nizku hamenachos kodem hashlamim." He says the order, right? The Torah begins with voluntary offerings. So the first parak is all about the korban ola. So I would have thought first we'll do the animal offerings and then we'll do the flower offerings. That's not what the Torah does. The Torah starts with the ola, then it moves on to the korban mincha, and then it goes to the korban shlamim, which is a little strange. It's animal, flower, animal. And the Abravanel says, no, there's a reason. And he says after he mentions all the different olas, the ola of the bakar, the tzon, and the oaf, then he says, you do the mincha, shehi gam kein ola. So the Abravanel says very explicitly that the korban mincha is a type of ola. So if that's the case, if the Abravanel is right, and the korban mincha is a type of ola, then I have a very simple question. When would I decide to bring a korban ola, and when would I decide to bring a korban mincha? Right? So, there could be a simple practical question. What do you think is more expensive? Korban ola or korban mincha?
Ola,
right, animal, right? It's an animal. So you could simply argue the Gemara in Menachos, Daf Kuf Dalad Amud Bey says, Omar Yisrael Minman Yishtaris Mincha Shenemar Bo Nefesh. Why does it say, why does the Torah say, V'nefesh Ki Sakriv? Why doesn't the Torah say, V'ish or Isha? Why, a person who brings the sacrifice, why is it the Nefesh? So Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu, Mi Darko Lohavi Mincha, who typically brings the Korban Mincha? Only a poor person, he can't afford it. Mala Ani Alava Kilo Hikriv Nafsholofadai. I will consider it as if he brought his whole soul in front of me. Because you think about what's an ola. An ola is the soul of the animal, where the man is sort of giving the sacrifice. The ola is sort of like the animal's replacing the person. So the Gemara Menachos says the person is poor. He can't afford an animal. So he brings the flower offering. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, you do your best. I consider it as if you brought your nefesh. That's why the lashon of a nefesh ki sakriv. According to this, then you bring the korban mincha because you are poor. You can't afford a korban ola. Rav Saraskin in his Nine Latova writes that there, as I mentioned, there are five different types of menachos. The first type is just you mix the ingredients. And then he says, "Lahalan mona odal minim menachos." There are four more: mafe tanur mishne minim, baked in the oven, two types: loaves and wafers. Now, obviously, loaves is probably not chametz, but it's probably thicker than the wafers. Machvas umarcheshes, pan and deep fried. Hainu heim minim menachos veheim keneged heim minim karbono shel bal chai. Sheninu ad ata beparzola. Why do we have five types of korbanos mincha? To correspond to the five types of olas. The ben bakar, kesev, ez, tor, and ben yonah. Cattle, right, sheep, goat, and two different types of birds. V'ratza kadosh baruch hu, what is God saying? She'ani hamevi mincha l'Hashem. The poor person who brings the korban mincha to God. Tielo abechira lahavi achas meheminim. K'moshi yesh l'ashir. You have the same option, just like the rich person has, can bring one of five different types of animals or living creatures. So the poor person also can have. So again, so one way of looking at the Korban Mincha, it's a poor man's ola. But I think there's another way to look at the Korban Mincha. And that for that, we have to ask the question, why no chametz and no dvash? Why no yeast and no honey? So the Rambam, in the Mor Nevuchim, Chelek Gimel, Perek Memvav, says, very simply, why can't you bring honey and yeast? Because that's what the pagans did. So he says, so we don't do that. And then he goes on to say, and you don't find any salt in the pagan sacrifices. So that's why God says, okay, this is not pagan. No honey, no yeast, and salt. So it further demonstrates how this is different than what the pagans bring. So one way of looking at these rules is these are anti-pagan rules.
Dvash was introduced later, right, for Rosh Hashanah.
Well, no, the Torah, there obviously was dvash in the times of the Torah, because they said you can't use dvash for the korban. So the way the Mor Nevuchim says, it's an anti-pagan thing. However, there's another way to look at this, and this ties into the other approach of what the korban mincha is all about. The Kli Yakar says the following: Ki kol adam yesh lo taiva l'chol chemdos ha'olam hazeh hamachunim bidvash. Everyone has a desire for all the desires of the world that are called dvash. Dvash is sweet. The dvash reflects our desires in this world. Ki kamosha dvash matuk lechech vribuyav mazik. Just like honey is very sweet to the palate, but if you have too much, it can harm you. Right? Kol chemdos olam hazeh heim hechrechiyim vribuyim mazik. So same thing. All the pleasures in the world, if you have a lot of them, then they could harm you. V'zos ha'itza ha'yutza. What's the advice? Yishtamesh adam mukhrachot v'mutar yachrim. You should only use that which you have to, but the rest you shouldn't use. Vasaor, so he's not into, you don't want to use the dvash when you don't have to. Vasaor hu dugma el yetzer hara. And the yeast is like the yetzer hara. It rises. Like your, the yetzer hara is called the saor shebe isa. That's how it's referred to. That's the yetzer hara. It's like you're puffed up. You're like arrogant. And so the Kli Yakar says, "Shasaor v'advash yizkarnu ein b'hem shlemut mitzad atzmam la'alos l'rech tichok l'Hashem." The saor and the dvash that we mentioned, they don't have any completion by themselves. They don't bring them as for a pleasant aroma to God. Ach sheheim reshit v'atchala el adam. Even though it's maybe It's the first thing that man wants. So what he says is that even though they don't, you need other things in order to achieve a sense of completion of yourself. But the Seor and the Dvash, they don't represent good completion by themselves. They use it with other things. They're really unnecessary. They're really additional. And the Kli Yakar points out that the Seor represents arrogance, and honey represents bodily pleasures. And so maybe we don't want to bring that in the Korban Mincha. And the Hamikdash
could be that, you know, if you don't have pleasure, you're not going to do it. So you need the pleasure just to get you moving, but then you have to think about,
it's
not about me, it's just not about my pleasure.
Okay.
So that's what he means. It begins, you can begin with that, because if it's not pleasurable, if it's painful, I'm not going to do it.
Right. You could have a little bit of it, but maybe it doesn't belong. The point is, it doesn't belong on the Korban. So why isn't it belonging to the Korban? So let's develop this a little more. Again, this represents pleasures and arrogance. The Hamikdavar says, "Uvasher she'seor hu emtsa'i anase b'di'adam lahosif al bria me'abor yisparach ayidei tachbulos b'di'adam." We said that yeast is a means by man to add to the creation from God through us. It's a way that we increase, right? The yeast helps us create, helps the opportunity to make bread. Mishum hachi, he's here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKasud b'Beis HaMikdash. God said, don't do this in the Beis HaMikdash. Lamein l'lamdeinu, d'kolam yiskarv yosir l'Hashem, mor l'may yosir b'tachbulos edosh. The closer we get to God, the more we have to minimize our own importance. And that's what he says, Mishum hachi, he's here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Pesach, Mishum sha'az zman ha'shrashas, Emunah b'lev Yisrael. Why is there no chametz on Pesach? Because on Pesach, that's the goal where we're supposed to have. We're supposed to be rooted in our faith in God, and when we're rooted in faith in God, so then we minimize our own importance. When we're emphasizing that midah, we're minimizing our chashivos, and therefore there is no seor. So it's the same idea that both. These korbanos mincha that you're bringing should not have anything that represents potentially arrogance and extreme, you know, unnecessary pleasure. And Rav Hirsch sort of deals with the question, I think, in a different way when he says, "Why does the Torah say v'nefesh ki sakriv?" And Rav Hirsch says the following: He says, "Mincha niskeres." He says, a mincha, which is a gift, a mincha is all, the concept of a mincha is also found outside the context of a korban. When I give you a mincha, so what does that mean? Shaleach ha-mincha makir b'kach she'makabal hu adon al gorolo. If, in generally speaking, when I give you a mincha, what am I saying? You're my master. It's not a matana. It's not a gift to someone. When I give you a mincha, so then what am I saying? You're in charge. This is a little gift offering that I'm giving to you. Humabia b'mincha so el es toloto b'mekabel. I express my reliance on the one who's receiving the gift. V'nichdam ishtabi l'maruto. And I humble myself to the master. Al piza tuvan halashon amyuchedes haposachas is a perek al korban mincha. And now we can understand the special language with which we open the chapter of the korban mincha. V'nefesh ki sakriv. Why is the Torah say about the korban mincha? V'nefesh b'korbanos hakodmim, in the earlier korbanos olas behema va'of, the animal offering and the bird offering. There you bring your soul, as it were, is offered on the Mizbeach. That's how you get close to Hashem. Your soul is the Korban. That's what's brought to the, that's the designation. That's to the summit of your designation. That's your soul is coming close to Hashem. But ilu b'mincha nefesh einena kreva, ela makriva. So by the mincha, your soul is not being offered. Your soul is bringing the offering, right? When you bring an ola, it's as if you are being offered on the Mizbeach. When you bring a mincha, nefesh ki sakriv, your nefesh is bringing it. V'lo et atzmahi makriva. You're not bringing yourself, ela et ruchusha. What are you doing? You're bringing your stuff. You're offering your stuff. When you bring a korban ola, you're offering yourself. When you bring a korban mincha, you're offering your stuff. Hanefesh mevatat et shifata lekirat Hashem adei hagashat mincha laot hishtabdut. Basically, what are you doing? The nefesh expresses its yearning to get close to God by bringing his stuff to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In a sense, the korban mincha expresses that Hashem is the arbiter of our fate, and the nefesh is bringing the sacrifice, which represents his possessions. In the korban ola, we are giving of ourselves to God. The korban mincha, we are giving our possessions to God. And perhaps this can provide, and along with this, I saw an interesting comment by the Shach. The Shach is normally a commentary in the Shulchan Aruch, but he has a commentary on the pasuk of why we bring salt. There are many different explanations to why we bring salt. We saw the Rav in the Morning Nevuchim. I want to share with you one other explanation. The Shach says the following: V'chol korban minchas chaba melech timlach. So what does salt remind you of? V'gam kein yiskor shenevdu anshei sedom v'nasu gafrit v'melach al shelo asu tzedakah. That through the salt, when you bring the salt, now the truth is you bring salt with all the korbanos, but the source is in the korban mincha. And when you do that, you'll remember that the people of Sodom and Amorah turned to sulfur and salt. Why? Because they did not give tzedakah. They were not kind. They were not righteous. They were not considerate for those who visited, for the orchim who would come to town. And if you lengthen your table to give to people who are needy, Kadosh Baruch Hu will lengthen your days and your years. Shema yovo ani v'yitin lo mimah shelafana. Maybe a poor person will come and you can give what you have. Im kein lazel ma shetzarich lasi melech al shulchanah. That's how we have salt on our table. Leidakel is that to know all this. Leidash ein olam hefker. Say the world's not hefker, ownerless. El shiyei shelav mashkiyach u'maskiyu manish. There is a God that's watching over and that rewards and punishes. Shrei nasan scharam le mi namayin she'asan melach she'iyav shal olam b'lohem. Right? V'hanish bahem anshi sedom. So, right, HaKadosh Baruch Hu punished, you know, both with the water, with the salt, that, you know, with the people of Sodom, but the salt that we have reminds us to have pity on the poor, because Sodom was turned to salt because the inhabitants weren't kind to the less fortunate. And perhaps the message, so we see here, it may not only be for the poor, it may also be for the rich, who wants to give his stuff dedicated to God. And that's the feeling that he has, or this is the feeling that it should spark. And ultimately, maybe then, the Korban Mincha, the goal of the Korban Mincha, who would bring the Korban Mincha, what's the message of the Korban Mincha? The goal is to equate the rich with the poor. The poor bring it, and when the poor bring the Korban Mincha, because it's all they can do, then the Torah says, nefesh, it's as if they brought an animal sacrifice. And the wealthy also bring the Korban Mincha, acknowledging that everything they have comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So you don't burn all of it, rather you do chesed, and you give some to others. You give to the Kohanim. Some you burn, you give to God, and some you give to the Kohanim. And perhaps the Korban Mincha then makes us realize that we must do more than simply sacrificing ourselves to God, like the Korban Ola, but we must translate this sacrifice into giving to our fellow Jew who is suffering as well. And that's what the Korban Mincha represents.